I have a green light, so I am there. I knew it. It was just a matter of a moment. Well, would you turn with me in your Bibles to Psalm 68, or press that little app and get there? Psalm 68. Yeah. I was telling somebody this morning, my brain is in here. So this is where my Bible, my to-do list, my grocery list, all of it is in there. So if I lose this, I don't know what's going to happen. But Psalm 68. So many of you know, last week we were on holidays. We very much missed you. I texted Dan that morning just to say, thinking of you all. I got a chance to hear Dan's message, and what a gifted communicator he is. It was such a privilege to hear from him. Were you guys encouraged last week? Amen. All right. Yeah. Well, as you know, when you go on holidays, there is a certain amount of preparation and planning that takes place. And I am a planner. I actually find joy in the planning. So Ed leaves that to me while I get on the internet and I start surfing things and figuring things out and figuring all the details. And I plan for the very best experience that our family can have as possible. But as much as I plan, sometimes things look like this. So he's not here today, so I took the liberty of using his photo. So you can see in the background the beautiful village of Leavenworth. And Tim just wants food. So that's all he's thinking about. So despite my best efforts in planning, it doesn't necessarily mean that everything is going to go as planned. There were ups and downs. We took a road that we thought, oh, this will be fun. And it just added probably an hour and a half into our commute that day. And wasn't much to look at, just a whole lot of traffic and lights. And, you know, so as much as we plan, sometimes things don't go the way we expect. A number of years ago, when our boys were a bit younger, this is cool, so I'm going to share this part, and I am going to be a little shorter today, so kids, you're good. Lunch is soon, all right? but I had been praying. I love Disneyland. It's just, I love it. But our boys had not been there. Financially, it just wasn't a possibility. And so God had really been speaking to us about our finances, about being faithful to him with our tithes and offerings. And as a result, we began to see answers happen for things we didn't even ask. Now, unknown to anybody in the house, I had been praying, God, before my kids age out of the household, because I think Matthew was about 16 or so at the time, would you give us the chance to go to Disneyland as a family? It's just something I want to share with them. And about a month later, my mother-in-law called, and she said, we want to take you guys to Disney World. Right? So we've been praying for, woohoo, Disneyland. It's like, are you kidding me, God? You answered, like, big time. So this was an amazing thing. However, having done a few smaller holiday trips before, I had this sense of reality that just because it's Disney World and the happiest place on earth does not mean six people plus my in-laws are going to be happy every moment of every day. So we had the discussion before we went. Guys, there's going to be grumpy times. One of us might get sick. There's going to be times you're hangry and frustrated and tired. But we're just going to have the best time of our lives. And we really did, because the point was that no matter how things went on that trip, no matter how things went last week on our holidays, the point was we were together. So as we look back, some of those frustrations and things are great memories now, right? Remember when we did this together? Remember when that happened together? And maybe you've had some of those kinds of conversations too. The same is true here as a church family. We are on a journey together, right? So I'm doing all kinds of planning and preparation, surfing the internet, I'm just kidding, and getting things ready for our journey together. But some of you might feel this way on the journey at times. Some of you might feel full of joy on the journey at times. But the point is today, church, we are in this together, right? Amen. So I want to dig into this idea just a little bit more, and we're going to read from Psalm chapter 68, verses 4 to 6. And I'm going to read it in context. We're going to isolate just one little part. Sing praises to God and to his name. Sing loud praises to him who rides the clouds. His name is the Lord. Rejoice in his presence. Father to the fatherless, defender of widows. This is God whose dwelling is holy. God places the lonely in families. He sets the prisoners free and gives them joy. He makes the rebellious live in a sun-scorched land. So the one I want to focus on today is this part. God places the lonely in families. We can be placed here in a family together, but still feel very much alone and isolated. We can be together, but not really together. Ed and I were talking this week about commuting, and I used to in high school. I went to high school in Calgary, but there was no high school in the northeast section of the city I lived in, so I had to commute via public transit all the way over to the northwest. And so I got to know my fellow commuters every day, same time, same bus, same group of people. We were together on this bus, but none of us were together. We didn't get to know people. I didn't get to know people. I was a little shy and whatever, and I just sat. I did have my friend on the bus with me one day, and there was this guy, young guy, who was always on the bus every day, and he would do the head bob, you know, the falling asleep. Well, anyway, one day his head ended up on my shoulder, and we're just like frozen sitting there, like, oh, no, right? Because we were together, but we weren't together. So... Yeah, or not together in that way either. There's like three levels of togetherness we could discuss here. Together needs to mean something beyond sitting in the same space at the same time. When we look at the biblical view of together, it means joined. It means united. It means closeness. We are the same. Sometimes you could be the same family in different rooms. We do that now. You know, kids get older and they all go to their separate spaces. But together is united. It's a closeness. It's a jointedness. There is something to be said. I don't know if you can see this comic here, but it says Richard is very protective of his personal space. And then there's that big rim around to keep people out. But I think there's something to be said for getting into someone else's personal space. And I don't mean up close, intimate, awkward kind of stuff, but I'm saying sometimes we just need to take another step closer in the body of Christ. Why? Because together gets attention. We talked a few weeks ago about living in a way that's counterculture to what our world knows. And in John 13:35, it says, "By this all men will know that you are my disciples if you love one another." So people will know that we are God's disciples when we practice togetherness in a way that's different from the world, in the way that we ride the public transit bus or maybe function in our household on a lazy night, together, closeness, joined, united. Because the bottom line is that our words need to line up with our actions. When we say love, we say, oh, I love my church family. Our actions need to line up with that. So 1 John 3:18 says, "Dear children, let's not merely say that we love each other, let us show the truth by our actions." So I don't know if you've observed over the last while, because I'm a little bit into technology and whatever and post on Facebook and things, I've been doing a hashtag. Hashtag is the little pound sign where you can make something a theme of a broader conversation. And so I've been posting New Life Together because I think God has called us to togetherness in a new way. And so as we embrace this season of New Life Together, let's let it be so. Let's let it be so. Let's love with more than our actions. So what does this look like for all of us? And I was contemplating that this week on the drive between Golden and here as we were returning home. And I thought, no one gets left behind. No one gets left behind. We are watching. We are being aware of where other people are at, when they're hurting, when they're frustrated, when they're bearing a heavy load. And we take a risk and we step into their personal space and say, I know something's going on. I want to pray with you. I want to support you. I want to bear that burden with you. The other thing is no one gets overlooked. I grew up in a situation where most of my life I did feel overlooked. And so I know that I have a little bit of sensitivity to that. And I tend to go in a room and try to find who would get overlooked in this room. But you know what? That's just not my job as a pastor. That's all of our jobs, to walk into a room and say, no one here is going to be overlooked today. No one celebrates a birthday alone, right? If you're here and you don't have a big household like we do at times, and you're on your own, and your birthday rolls around, and you find out you have no one to celebrate it with, you better be calling Pastor Ed and I, because, boy, we will take you out to dinner. We will have fun with that. We love to eat out. Our budget doesn't always let us as much as we'd like to, but we sure love it. So no one celebrates a birthday alone. We are doing life together. No one sits alone. No one sits alone. So I'm going to do something here, and I'm talking about no one sits alone as a family unit or an individual when we gather here together. So I'm going to pretend I just got here. I haven't seen anything yet. I haven't made any observations. I'm going to turn around, and I'm just going to count to 10, and I'm going to give you a chance to reshuffle. Oh, pretty challenging. I'm going to actually make you maybe get into somebody else's personal space a little. Now, you can move as a family unit. You don't have to leave people behind because no one gets left behind. But I'm going to turn around, and I'm going to just let you observe. Now, the hard thing with a shuffle is maybe when you move to be with somebody else will get left alone. So this could be tricky. But I'm willing to count to 20 if need be. So you ready for this? I'm just going to turn around. I haven't seen nothing yet today. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 9 and a half. Everybody good? Can I turn around? 9.75. 9.98, 10. Oh, well, hello. I like this. You guys took it to a whole other level right there. Well done. No one sits alone. I want this to be our new, I want to say philosophy, but it's more than that. Our new spiritual mandate that we embrace as we move forward. Whether our chairs are in rows, whether we're seated around tables, because we're going to see both over the next while, no one is alone. We are new life together. And it's more than just a demonstration, a physical demonstration. I'm at the same table with somebody, but you could be on the same bus with somebody and not be together. But us to really begin to invade the lives of others in a new way. Hebrews 10, 24, and 25, we've reviewed this verse a couple times over this last month. Well, actually, last month. Let us think of ways to motivate one another to acts of love and good works. And let us not neglect our meeting together, as some people do, but encourage one another. We don't actually come just for our own benefit. Maybe you weren't aware of this. Maybe you are. I think a lot of you are. But we are not just here for us. You are not just here for you. The Bible says we are here to benefit the other body members of Christ. We are there to encourage one another. We are there to lift one another up. And we can't do that if we come into a room and we sit alone at our table, we isolate ourselves, we don't interact with somebody, and we go home. That's not together. Young people, if you're teenagers, if you're preteens in the room and you're heading back to school this week, I want to challenge you to together. I want to challenge you to be aware in a new way of the people in your school. There are people you will connect with in your community who have never experienced togetherness. And they know we are disciples because of our love. So when you take a bold step out, and it's a bold step, I know. When you take a bold step out and say, that person over there that's been isolated and overlooked, that sits alone, I'm going to get into their personal space and I'm going to make sure they're connected. That is going to be a powerful thing, not just in your life, but in the lives of others. We're almost done here. So there's a few things, few problems fostered by aloneness. Followed for the lonely is sadness, fear of rejection, disappointment, bitterness, criticalness, because then they begin to judge the actions of others unfairly sometimes. The followed for those of us who don't see, missed opportunities, and reduced awareness. So I don't know how many times I've said to somebody, oh, I'll return that video or that whatever to you, and I put it in a spot in my household, and it's been there so long, I stopped seeing it. You just walk by it, it's like, oh, that, I just thought that was part of the household furniture now. And that's what can happen to us. We have reduced awareness. We begin to just not even see the people that are right there in front of us. And this is not what God intended for a group of believers in community with one another. Psalm 68, 6a. God places the lonely in families. So this morning as we close the service, I want to just have a moment to pray. First of all, I want to pray for those here this morning that would say, I'm feeling lonely. I've been here for a while, but there are times where I very much feel alone. And it may not be based on the actions of others, it could be, but it might just be that sense that I feel isolated. I don't feel like I have that person I can rely on. I don't feel that togetherness when I gather here. And if that's you this morning, we want to pray with you. And so I'm going to ask you to do a very bold action, as bold for both of us, because I could say this and none of you could stand. But I'm going to ask, if that's you this morning, if you're saying, you know what, I've been hurting and I've been feeling very alone, would you pray with me? I'm just going to invite you to stand where you are. I'm not going to ask you to come all the way up, but I'll just wait here for a moment. Is there anyone like that? Sure. Yeah, so Debbie asked if she could stand in the gap for somebody who's feeling alone and isolated. Anyone else this morning? All right. What I'm going to ask you to do now is no one stands alone either. So if you're near to Debbie, would you just place your hand on her? Would you pray with her? Would you support her as we pray? Because you know what? It's a very hard thing to be the spouse of somebody who's in that situation as well. Because as a spouse, you do what you can, but there's really a point of connection that needs to be made even beyond that. So God, we lift up Debbie to you this morning. And God, you know the situation with her husband. Lord God, you know where he's at. God, would you reach in and penetrate those lonely places in his heart and in his spirit? Would you encourage him, Lord God? Would you help him to reach out, Lord? Would you give him boldness as well to make a move into somebody else's personal space? God, I pray that he would intersect with the body of Christ in a new way, in a healthy way, Lord, in a way that causes him to pay attention and say something's different here and to maybe be a little bit more vulnerable in areas where there might have been hurt and disappointment in the past. God, would you heal his heart, Lord, where those things have happened? Would you heal any area of rejection or disappointment? In the mighty name of Jesus, Lord, we pray that you would strengthen Debbie as well, Lord. Give her your wisdom. In your name, amen. Amen. Thank you. The second thing I want to pray today before we close is just that God would increase our compassion and our awareness as we move forward. So can we do that together? So Lord, we come to you and we confess that there have been times, Lord, there's been times where I've been task-oriented and walked right by somebody without even paying attention. God, would you forgive me for those I've overlooked? Lord, for those who I've inadvertently forced to do life in isolation by my own actions. God, would you help us, each of us, Lord, to be more aware of our surroundings? Lord, that we would live life together. Lord, increase our compassion for the times when maybe it's difficult to connect with others. Lord, give us your heart in these matters. And now as we continue with our heads bowed and our eyes closed, we do this every week. Lord, I'm going to make an invitation here. If you're here this morning and you do not walk in a relationship with Jesus at present, and you've maybe heard the gospel message before but hadn't responded, or maybe this is the first time you're hearing it, God desires to have a relationship with you. He desires to come in and forgive broken places and heal and restore and promise you an eternity in heaven with him and a close, intimate relationship with him so that you never walk alone. If you would like to respond to that this morning, if you want to say, yes, I need the forgiveness of the Lord, I believe that he is Lord, and I want to respond to that this morning. If that's you, I'm going to invite you to raise your hand. I'm not going to ask you to stand or come forward, but I'm just going to pray with you right where you're at. Is there anybody like that this morning? All right. So, Lord, we thank you. We thank you that you created togetherness. Lord, that you created us for relationship. Lord, I pray that you would help us to walk closely with one another. Lord, that we would not neglect the assembling of ourselves together. And Lord, we would recognize that that's not just about being in the same room at the same time, but it's something so much deeper. God, would you help us to move boldly forward with the mandate to do life together? We pray this in your name. Amen. All right. Well, I have good news. And it's about to appear. Celebration lunch. Who's ready to eat? All right. So here's how this goes. We're going to pray for the food. But you might go, well, what's the deal with the celebration lunch? So about mid-meal, once you're all settled with your food, we're going to take a moment and acknowledge any birthdays over the summer, any anniversaries that happened. I'm also going to put out there two or three praise reports, but there's a proviso with that. Please keep them to 1 minute or less. We want to be sensitive to the fact that people are eating and people need to interact and visit, so we're not going to let things snowball into a half an hour thing. So there's sticky notes on your table. If you have something to share, we've already got a couple up here. If you have an achievement, a praise report, an amazing moment that's happened over the last month, an achievement, go ahead, write it on that note, stick it there. And as you're eating, feel free to head over and take a look at what's going on. Yes, I see that hand, Kim.